I titled my message today, Let's Talk About the Holy Spirit. It's something we don't talk about very often in church. I don't know why. There's a few things that we don't talk about. The Holy Spirit, we don't usually have many sermons on Him. And we don't talk about hell anymore in church. I'm not quite sure why, because that's a real place also. But today we're going to go on to the Holy Spirit. Now, a couple of minor things that we want to know about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a He. He's a person. He's God the Father. He's within the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So He's spoken of as a He. And that's taken out of John 14:16. The Holy Spirit has intelligence, far more than we have. He knows the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit makes decisions. He makes those decisions in our lives, our believers' lives. The Holy Spirit has emotions. He feels grief and He grieves for us. And the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. He speaks to us. He intercedes. He teaches us. He leads us. He appoints us. And He empowers us. So that's why I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit today. In my connection group and life group, we talk about the Holy Spirit frequently because He does so much in our lives. And when He's dwelling within you, you know that you're going to heaven with Jesus Christ. So how much thought have you ever given to the Holy Spirit? Do you understand what He does in our lives? Think about that. How much thought do you give? So we're just going to take a short look at what the Holy Spirit does for us and with us. I want to go to Acts 1, verse 5. It says in Acts 1, verse 5, it says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So, what I'm going to say here is, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus died for our sins, a most dreadful death, if you believe that Jesus Christ was buried, Jesus Christ rose from death and is resurrected to the right hand of God, defeating death, then I would say that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You are saved. I want to read that one more time. "For John baptized with the Holy Spirit." Jesus said in Mark 12, verse 30, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." This is what God expects from us. That's what He expects from us. When we do these things, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. It's believing with the true heart. I'm going to read from John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. But this portion of verses in John is about a festival, a great festival that was just winding down. And people were expecting Jesus to appear there. I think it was on the last day of the festival. Some of these people wanted to see miracles. Some of them wanted to hear words of wisdom from Jesus. But the Pharisees wanted to come and arrest Him. They were extremely jealous because Jesus was getting a whole lot of attention instead of them. Now let me read from John 7, verses 37 to 39. It reads like this. "On the last day, He stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" Verse 39. "By this He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive." Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon somebody, and it'll be flowing. The Spirit will just flow from your personality, from who you are now that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And continuing in verse 39, it says, "Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified." Notice the words, believed in him, up in verse 39. So what's happening is, if you do not, I stress, not believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit cannot and will not come upon you. You have to believe in Christ. Now, when we said Jesus had not yet been glorified, that just means that he was not risen to heaven yet, to the right hand of God. Shortly before Christ's death, though, Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, or comforter, or advocate, depending on the translation you have in your Bible. So we have the Holy Spirit coming upon us. In John 14, 16 and 17, John 14, 16 and 17, it says, Jesus is promising, he says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, excuse me, and he will give you another advocate to help you ever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and in you. So the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. He doesn't leave you and come back later on. He is in you. Now this promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Most of you know what Pentecost is, but Penta means 50, so Pentecost is 50. And if we go to the first chapter of Acts, Jesus appeared to the apostles and gave them some directions before he ascended into heaven. I'm going to read Acts 1, verses 1 through 9. Acts 1, verses 1 through 9. In my former book, this is Paul speaking now, not Paul, sorry. In my former book, Theophilus, this is Luke. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. See that 40 days he spoke with them. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So after he rose from death, he appeared to the apostles for 40 days. We just read that. Then he rose to be with the Father. 10 days later, now he told the apostles not to leave, okay? So 10 days later, the Holy Spirit descends and rested on each of them. 40 days plus 10 days is 50. That's Pentecost. I'm going to read Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There's one word in verse 4 I want you to keep in mind as we go on with this message, is the word filled. Very important word, the word filled. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul was teaching in this verse, teaching the Corinthians about sexual immorality, but I don't want to stress that part. I wanted to see what it says, just a few words from that first little part. It says in verse 19, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples you whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Now, I want you to consider, what is that price? It's so easy for us to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe indeed. The price was the death of Christ. That was the price. The gift was the receiving or the resurrection. A great new living organism began on the day of Pentecost. And that organism is the church, the true church. Every believer is a member of this church, which is the body of Christ. I know many of you know this. Did you know that Pentecost can never be repeated? There's only one Holy Spirit and one true church. So there can only be one Pentecost. Therefore, we are the true church. Not just the EC church, but all Christians. We are the true church. What does the Holy Spirit do when he indwells us? He regenerates us. You develop a new nature about us, about yourself. Think back when you finally realized that, hey, I do believe in Jesus Christ. Think back to how you changed. It might have been subtle. It might have been wonderful, great. But there was a change in your nature. So he regenerates the believer. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, the Bible, to regenerate and grow your faith. In Titus 3, verses 4 through 7, Paul writes, "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." So he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. That's regeneration. He regenerated us. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul writes, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." So you were washed, which means you were spiritually cleansed. The Holy Spirit came in. Living water washed you. You were sanctified. Sanctified, which means you're set apart for special use. Think about what you do in your life. You are sanctified by God to do special things. You have a new behavior, a new pattern of obedience, and a new pattern of holiness within you. In justification, we are able to go to God directly through Jesus Christ. We go through Jesus Christ to go to God. I have a short story for you. A 12-year-old boy was saved at a revival. Later, his friends questioned him about it. One said, "Did you see a vision?" Another said, "Did you hear God speak?" The boy answered all these questions with a simple no. "Well, how did you know you were saved?" they asked. The boy replied, "It's like when you catch a fish. You can't see the fish or hear the fish. You just feel him tugging on your line." And he goes on to say, "I just felt God tugging on my heart." That's how he knew he was saved. Romans 8, verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So we are believers. The Holy Spirit is living in us. We're showing signs of being changed. a change in our morals. We're not finished with that, though, yet. You see, the Holy Spirit wants all of us, all of each of one of you, not just all of us as a church, each one of us. He wants all of us. Remember, I talked about the word filled with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul writes five simple words: do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we allow sin to continue in our life. We're all sinners, we know that. But when we allow it to continue in our lives, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, we can remain Spirit-filled by immediately repenting and confessing our sins to Christ. That's all we have to do if you're a believer. I'm going to go to 1 John 1, 7 through chapter 2, verse 2. Reading in 1 John 1, chapter 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." Chapter 2. "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." So we could come to Jesus Christ to go to God. We confess our sins to Christ. Speaking to a large audience, D.L. Moody held up a glass and he asked, "How can I get the air out of this glass?" One man shouted, "Suck it out with a pump." Moody replied, "That would create a vacuum and shatter the glass." After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water, and with that word, filled, and filled the glass. "There," he said, "all the air is now removed." He then went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Remember, the Spirit wants all of you. And are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? In the books of Acts, it says, you can read all of these different verses that I'm going to read here. Excuse me. But in Acts 2:4, it says, all the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4:31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In 6:3, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. In 6:5, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. In 7:55, when Stephen was being stoned to death, he, full of what? The Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. In Acts 11:24, Barnabas, a good man and filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. In Acts 13:9, Paul, while on Cyprus, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked at the sorcerer Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil," and through God, Elymas was blinded for a while. So what I'm getting at is, don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. There's a few things the Holy Spirit does in the lives of believers. He'll teach you through the Word of God. This is what He uses to teach us, the Word of God. So if you don't know the Word of God, you might be lacking in your walk with the Spirit. He brings forth His ninefold fruit in the believer, from taken out of Galatians 5. Those nine things are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He leads the believer to a godly life. He gives the believer power in prayer. And I bet if I asked each one of you, if you've ever knelt down to say a prayer to God, and you just didn't have words to say, you didn't have to worry about that. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you, He knows your heart, and He will pray to the Father for you. The Holy Spirit manifests His gifts through believers. When He gives us those gifts, He expects us to use those gifts. Don't quench or grieve the Spirit. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, pray, read, study, obey the Scriptures, attend church services to be around other Christians. Confess your sins immediately to Christ. And a very important one, say yes when the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something. Another short story. Before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, and a tightly fitted door. In winter, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut, hauled to the ice houses, and covered with sawdust. Often the ice would last well into summer. One man lost a valuable watch while working in the ice house. He searched diligently for it, carefully raking through the sawdust. And his fellow workers also looked, but their efforts too proved futile. A small boy who heard about the fruitless search slipped into the ice house during the lunch hour and soon emerged with the watch. Amazingly, the men asked him how he found it. The boy replied, "I closed the door, laid down in the sawdust, and kept very still. Soon I heard the watch ticking." Often we do not hear God speak because we don't lay down in the sawdust very quietly and listen. Sometimes we just need to be silent and listen to Him. Is He speaking to your heart? As Paul ended his second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 13, verse 14, he wrote, "May the grace of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen."